for praying. Thank you for praying. I see the surgeon Tuesday. I guess maybe my condition sort of goes along with today's message. John chapter 3 and John chapter 4, so we're just looking there. Oh, let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for getting me through that thing, Lord, that I don't have to wait till October and go under general anesthesia and all that. Now, Lord, it's that part is over, so they know what's happening. I'm glad I've been diagnosed, and I'll just leave that in your hands and do with me as you will. You know what I pray your will is. Lord, bless this your people here this morning. Bless this book. Lord, it's been great already. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light, and this is the best day of my life because it's the only one I got. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. John 3:22, watch. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. All right. Now look at John chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Now watch this parenthesis. Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Evidently, when they credited Jesus for baptizing, it wasn't him literally doing the baptizing. It almost seems like they were contrasting John's camp and Jesus' camp, because it says he didn't baptize. And if he didn't baptize, these are just a couple free things I thought of. It's another nail in the coffin of what we call baptismal regeneration, or the fact that folks believe that you're saved by believing in Jesus and being baptized, all right? If believing in Jesus and baptism saved, you would think that Jesus would have baptized. But there's no record in the Bible of him baptizing. Here's another freebie before we start. There's a group called Baptist Briders that it's them four and no more. And they say this. They say, we trace our local church water baptism right back to John the Baptist. Here's something interesting either you won't find in the Bible. John being baptized. Who baptized John? We trace our baptism back to Jesus. He's the one that was baptized. So those are freebies. Now our message. Now warning before we start. The danger in today's message is really, if it's not built on Dylan's message under the table, if you didn't hear that message where the most needful part is, if you're not walking with God, you're going to hear something that the Holy Spirit maybe isn't saying to you today. So be careful. I preached a message one time. It might have been along these lines, and someone came up to me after and said, God spoke to me today. Well, a preacher hears that, kind of wells up a little bit. You know, that's good. What did he say? Used your message to confirm I'm leaving the church. No kidding. Another drawback is most of you won't need it. But we are where we are in the Bible, and I think someday you will need it. And for the ones that do need it, I hope it'll help. Look at chapter 4, verse 1 again. We're going to look at those words closely. When therefore the Lord knew, look at the first two words of verse 3, he left. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, verse 3, he left. And that's the Bible principle we're going to teach you today that hopefully can help you in your Christian life. And like I said, if you don't need it today, you most likely will. And it's only really one point today. It appears that Jesus altered his plan when faced with an obstacle. And yet he remained in the perfect will of God. You know where he ended up after this? He heard these things. There was something going on, and we're going to look at a bunch of other places. Same thing like this happened. He ends up in Samaria, where a lady gets saved and leaves a whole town of men to Jesus Christ. Go to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Another way. They still got to their destination, but they got there another way. Look at verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth unto Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word. Watch this. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And I'm looking at that thinking, what about... We're talking about the Son of God here. What about the horses prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord? What about, though 10,000 set themselves against me round about, I will not fear, for you are with me? What about, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art... What about when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and the rivers, they shall not overflow thee? When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Doesn't God have a providential plan for his son? What's he afraid of Herod for? Why is he altering a plan when he heard that Herod... By the way, you're going to go down to Egypt? Matthew 1:21 said, He shall save his people from their sins. By the way, his people aren't down in Egypt. That's a long detour. Who likes moving when it's not by choice? Joseph, when he was called out of there, was probably settled in Egypt. We know he was a carpenter, maybe he had a business or worked for someone, and God said, you got to move. Jesus, as a young child by this time, maybe had some friends. Look at verse 19, Matthew 2:19. But when Herod was dead, because God said he's going to seek to kill that, I mean, I'd think to myself, well, why don't you stop him, God? This is your son. Angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. You got a kid out in Egypt tonight, this morning? He can speak in Egypt. That was free. I just got that for myself. Verse 20. Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel. Again? For they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose, and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, which is where they were going to, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. You see what's going on here? God is playing chess with the devil. And his people are the pawns. God gives a direction, and the devil counters with a roadblock. God changes his son's direction, and the devil makes a counter move. God acts, the devil reacts. The devil acts, God reacts. And changes the situation in the lives of his people. He changes plans sometimes. I know we don't like that word change. We'll get to that. He changes logistics. He changes places, administrations, the people. And here's what's amazing. When it's all said and done, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, after a real long detour, end up right smack dab in the perfect will of God. In fact, they were never out of it. For it, as it is written, out of Egypt have I called my son. But you couldn't have told them that when God was saying, okay, move here. They're going to kill him. They're going to kill him. Go back. Okay, this guy reigns. He's related to him. Get out of there. Even though they took a huge detour, even though the plan changed, God won the chess match. But the pawns had to move. The pawns had to be inconvenienced. The pawns had to alter their plan. In John 4, what we read, Jesus knew what was in the hearts and minds of those Pharisees. So God made a move. He said, you know what? There's this issue going on. Who's baptizing who? Therefore, when he knew that, he left. He went down through Samaria and half the city got won. Practical applications. God may alter your plans, but you can still be in His perfect will. I heard someone say, if you want to make God laugh, tell Him your plans. Man, I had all this stuff going. I had my plan mapped. You know what God said? Ha ha. Listen, now we don't look for change. If you came in here this morning with no change on your radar, don't conjure something up, okay? Please don't have the church come say, I think God wants us to leave. But with that said, change may be the will of God for your life. What you had planned, God may have a different plan, and it may still be the perfect will of God for your life, but it may include a detour or a different road, something that you hadn't planned on. I never dreamed my kids would ever marry out of the church. And my first one did, and my second one did, and my third one did, and my fourth one did, and I lose count after that. I think it's my sixth one did. I think it was, I don't see the Parkinson's here today, but this is years ago, and he went to his daughter Michelle and said, Michelle, someone in church has come and is interested in you. And she said, oh, great, anybody but Chad Amsler. That's a true story. We were at their daughter's wedding the other day. Their kid's daughter, yes, their daughter's wedding. I pictured I'd be a missionary. You know you can be in the perfect will of God if God didn't paint your picture the way you wanted it to be painted. You look at a guy, what if I offered every man in this church the prophetical future of your, let's take Aaron over here, they're pregnant with their first, Aaron, the dream is going to come true, you're going to have 8 girls and a boy. Look at him. Man, we started out, I thought for sure, being the preacher that I am, God's going to give me a bunch of boys, and they're all going to grow up to be preachers. And God said, no, I'm going to give you a bunch of girls, and they're all going to turn out to be singers. And now you know what I say? Hallelujah! You think you're in the will of God? Yes. Yes. I pictured I would marry a knight in white shining armor. coming with a Bible in his hand to take me off to the mission field. Not Fred over there with a wrench and greasy fingernails. Now be careful. I never pictured I'd marry a lost girl, but you know, God changes. No. Hashtag no. Surely I'd be a pastor with a huge work. Maybe. But here's the good news. You might be in the perfect will of God if you're not. Jesus saw obstacles. He faced hindrances in the overall plan. He altered his plan, and God used change. Now, we Baptists don't like change. Independent Baptists really don't like change. And conservative homeschool independent Baptists really, really don't like change. Because we saw what bad, and the reason we don't like change is usually it's bad. But you better be careful, because God might ooze out of that little box that you have placed him in. When you said you would never blah, 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 blah. And you know what you learned? Humble pie is humbling. Now here's what the Bible says. Meddle not with them that are given to change. In other words, change for the sake of change. Just go with the flow of prevailing opinions and fashions and fads and morals and pick up the latest book. Oh, this is what they're doing now. And then they throw that down. This is what they're doing now. No, we're not talking about that. But the Bible doesn't say meddle not with them that ever change, or you wouldn't be able to deal with God. Now, we know God changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank God. But don't confuse that with God putting up a little detour sign in your life or painting the picture with a little different brush than you had him intending in your heart and mind to paint it. Listen, if you're a dispensationalist, if you don't know what that is, we don't have time to go into it. You know God changes. Covenants, emphasis, promises, test, proof that you aren't out there this morning looking for a tree of knowledge of good and evil to stay away from is proof that God changes plans. You aren't building an ark. You aren't out killing pigeons. Your yoke isn't heavy with the law this morning. God changed some things big time in the Bible, and you know what? It always seemed to end up better. Go to Hebrews chapter 7 this morning. Talk about change. Change, that's a bad word. I know, I don't like it outside of the Bible change. Verse 12. For the priesthood, that's that Levitical priesthood in the Old Testament, being changed. That's a pretty big change. There was made of necessity a change also of the law. So now you got the priesthood changed, the law changed. Let's go to verse 13. For of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe. Now the tribe of the priesthood changes, of which no man gave attendance to the altar. Ultimately, the whole covenant changes. Look, we'll just jump around Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. Look at chapter 7, verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. And we read about a better testament in verse 22 of chapter 7, in a more excellent ministry. God may change your ministry. I started in the three-year-old Sunday night toddler class, I guess you'd call it. I know I've given this testimony, but it's so funny I want to tell it again. Some of you remember Henry LaPara. Man, he had all these kids, and his son was in there. And one of our jobs was we had to go into the bathroom with the kids. I'm newly saved, 6 months. And this little kid, I said, you got to go number one or number two? Number two, okay, right in there, close the door behind you. He said, I'm done. Okay, come on out. No, I. And he basically said, I don't know how to wipe myself.
You better learn.
Quick. I said, what? I don't know how to wipe myself. Well, are you lying? Because I'll tell your father. I know your father. Your kids got trouble with that? Come and see me. One easy lesson, it was over. My first message I preached was at the Mariner House. I used to call it the Urine House. It was a terrible, just run-down city operation, and it just reeked. And I'm kind of skeevy with that urine smell, man. And I'm up there, but I gave it everything I had getting ready, just like I did this morning and this week. And man, I'm up there preaching. This guy gets right up. I don't want to be gross. Spits in the garbage can right next to me. 5 minutes later, gets up. You know what God gave me? A better ministry. But it took change. Hebrews 9, there were better sacrifices. Hebrews 10, there was a better substance. Hebrews 11, there was a better country. Hebrews 11, there was a better resurrection. And Hebrews 11, there's better things. And it's all, get this, God changed something that didn't work as good as it would have after the change. Now go to Hebrews 8. How could God make something that didn't work? Because the free will of man was involved in it, okay? You know why some of you are going to change? You're not going to have a choice. It's those around you that are going to cause you to have to bend, hopefully not break. You saying compromise? Well, I was just going to say, no, I'm not saying compromise. No, I'm not saying compromise in the way you're thinking of it. But yeah, there may be some compromise. I used her last week. I'll use her again. I don't relish the idea of my daughter leaving Medina at 11 o'clock at night in the dark when there's deer and drunks and all that. Am I a compromiser? Because I love her and she loves me. And she's got a good fish on the line. My wife said, yeah, she's good. Don't tell me. Verse 6, Hebrews 8. Watch this. But now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Watch this. For if the first covenant had been faultless, wait a minute, there was a fault with the covenant of God? How could that be? Then should no place have been sought for the second. Where was the fault? Look at verse 8. For finding fault with them. They messed it up. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Man's Part of the covenant messed it up. Man couldn't make it under the first plan, but praise God, in his mercy, he made a better plan. I'm not saying be given to change, but consider it. It may be better. In fact, when you follow the Bible cover to cover, starts with Adam and Eve, here's the plan. They mess it up, he changes the plan. Noah, Moses, David, Israel, the law, all these promises, all these covenants, some conditional, some unconditional. The conditional ones, they all messed it up. What does he do? Makes the plan better. Culminates with Jesus Christ. That's what Hebrews is all about. Jesus perceived an obstacle and slightly changed his course, and a whole city of men and a whorish woman got saved. And amidst the change, it was the perfect will of God for his life. You ever make proclamations to your kids? This is the way we're going to do it, because we're right and everybody else is wrong. We started out that, I don't know how many years, 35 years ago, homeschooling. We're going to have a plan. We're going to have a rigid, we're going to do it like the McNamara's. Man, the McNamara's, what time you guys, you know, I pump your kids when you're not around. What time do you guys get up? 5:30.
5:30.
My kids go, in the afternoon? No. And we're going to get the whisper mill. And you're going to grind wheat. And we're going to get the Bosch mixer. And we're going to make 5 loaves of fresh bread every Monday. And we did it. And you're going to get up and you're going to read your Bible and clean your room so that I can throw a quarter on your bed and it's going to flip over. And you know what I found? I didn't like my kids up in the morning when I was trying to have my quiet time. They didn't do real good at that hour. So we changed. And now we eat church bread from Panera. No wonder you had to have colon surgery. We did the same thing with the church. We've been giving you a lot of history lately. We started out in a rented building down in Shalott. Pentecostal church there, they came in at 11 or something. We started at 8:30 a.m. I know when we started, it was one night a week. I think it was like $25 a week or something. I think by the time we settled in, it was $400 a month, somewhere in there. And we used to say, we'll never build a building because we give our money away. I think half these proclamations we made were just to set us up on Satan's pedestal so we could look down at everybody that wasn't doing it like us. No Bible Institute for us. It takes the man out of the home. And then we had a Bible Institute. Because I really believe that I just saw one day you didn't get that camaraderie. I'm careful not to say, God told me this. Because if I would have said, God told me we're going to have a Bible Institute, well, what do I say now that we don't have one anymore? Just be careful about those problems. Even in the Bible, God showed me right here. Yeah, but then if God changes, you look like a stoop and unspiritual. There was a guy at our old church by the name of Todd Steltz. There was a girl by the name of Mary Hulick. Mary was, and man, I was just newly saved, so I don't remember all the details, but she had a burden for Asian people. She'd taken trips over there, and I remember seeing slides and things like that. And Todd was, he was called to Spain, I believe it was. Well, she was called over there, and he was called over there, And then they locked eyes. And they seen each other. And they got acquainted. Missionaries' hearts. And then they got engaged. He was getting ready to go to Spain. And I don't know if it was Tina or Kathy or somebody asked him, said, Mary, I thought you were called to Asian people, and now you're marrying Todd, and he's going to Spain. And she said this, when I said yes to the proposal, I surrendered my callings to his. Man, is that good. Be careful when you say, we do it this way, and this is the way. And I know I'm sounding liberal this morning. But the liberal soul shall be made fat. So there must be a little bit of it in me. You know what bothers me about God sometimes? He uses people I wouldn't use. I'm not a Calvinist. In fact, I kind of despise it. I don't bring it up a lot. But you look at the Great Awakening. And if they weren't at one extreme, that God does it all, like D.L. Moody, the prince of preachers, as Keith Daniels said, oh, if you've not read Moody, you're poverty-stricken. Calvinist. And you got Wesley on the other end, Arminian. Works. Just about all of them baptized babies. And you know what really bothers me? God shook the world with those men. And nothing's changed. And I'm still not for Calvinism. I'm still not for Arminianism. I'll run into someone, hey, how you doing? Oh, praise the Lord, man. I got my scriptures for you. Where'd you get saved? Oh, I'm in a football league at the church over in Future Street over there. And man, I just started joining this league with these guys, and they got preached. I got saved. I preach against that stuff. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. And if you'll get what I just said, I'm not saying to change what you believe or how you believe God exercises ministry and things like that. You'll sleep a whole lot better. Meddle not with them that are given to change, but consider, is it God making the change? 2 Corinthians 3, and I'll tell you why. He gets us banging our head against the wall sometimes with these kind of things. Or, are you a chicken, Jesus? You're gonna just leave. Joseph, what are you afraid? You're not trusting God? Don't you know your wife? She got a promise that he's going to save his people from their sins, and you're running from Herod down to Egypt? In the perfect will of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, present tense, not future, we're not talking about the rapture, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. You know what all this change will do sometime? It'll give us some faith because we don't have control. We don't have the reins. We have no choice. Boy, that's nice. Well, I'm not changing. Where were we the other day? Beth Resch. We were getting ready to go downtown. Great night downtown, by the way. And she went to give a lady a check. She goes, I'm born a Catholic, I'll die a Catholic. That's crazy. Tell you what change will do. It'll change you. And it'll change me more into his image. He went this way, and there stood Herod. And he went this way, and there stood this one. And they wanted to destroy him. And he walked with God. God forbid we got to walk with God. Numbers 9. That is a book in the Old Testament, by the way, Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers 9. Love this passage.
If you don't read the Old Testament, you're poverty stricken.
Now, some of you, I don't know why I just thought this thought. Nowhere in my notes, I don't know where this came from. Some of you women, you got to change the furniture every other day. You know who does in our house? I do it. I want to change this. I want to change it. We don't change just to change. And if you paint your walls, my walls need a painting. Don't get me wrong. But anyways, well, I'm just saying, how'd you like to live like this? 9 and 19. You know the Old Testament. They pitched the tent. They set up the camp. We're talking a million people. And when the cloud tarried, verse 19, long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. We just got set up 2 days ago? And you want us to move again? And we're not just throwing the stuff in the back of the bus here. It's got to be just right. Man, God's too picayune for some of us. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, that the cloud was taken up in the morning. One day, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night, that the cloud was taken up. Why are we moving? Well, look at it. Or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year. Boy, we've been sitting here a long time, haven't we? God, what is it? Just listen to me and trust me daily. Get under the table whenever you can get under the table. Get at his feet, and the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths in spite of the picture being painted the way you never thought it would be painted. And you get to the end of the journey and say, whew. See, that's when you see it at the end. If you told me 30 years ago, 8 girls, 1 boy, what? And you get down at, Rod Phillips used to tell us, you don't see the will of God forward. You see it when you, oh yeah, look at the way he was in that. We trust him for the future that we can't see because he's proved himself with the past that we can see. Never let us down. I could go on. Okay, I want you to go over there and fight, he'd tell his people, and just slaughter everyone. Don't take nothing. And then the next time, well, I want you to go over there. This time, just walk around the city 6 times. Dad, aren't you being a little picky? You know, funny about fathers and mothers. Oh, I'm very cautious to put these things out because I know if you're not walking with God. See what he said? Did you hear him? Yeah, my rib's broken. Sometimes we don't realize the decisions we make until we look back. These girls are something. They know everything. I told you my girl, 8 girls, imagine. And I know nothing about the situation. Nobody knows nothing. But this one, so let's say these people got an issue. I don't know why I'm giving this. These people got an issue here. And that one, and the one walked by, and then the other one walked by later, and the other one walked by later. And by the time you get the 8 things together, they know the whole story. I come home from meeting one time. Someone had come and approached about one of my girls. And I came, and they already knew it. How did you know it? What did you say? No. Why?
I don't know why.
Now, I hesitate to say that because some of you that are going to have your kids in your house till they're 60-year-old and taking care of you on your deathbed because you got a worse dream than they got. But I'm just telling you, I don't know what it was, but I know now. We got to walk with God. God, help us to walk with God. Now, well, I don't like him. I don't think this. I think that. I told you last week, a prisoner? You don't think I had to trust God to let my second board marry? Were you? I'm not going to ask him if he was a felon. It's bad enough as it is. Yeah, because you didn't get caught for that stuff. See what goes on? This church is getting ready for some big change. If you think Charlie Barkowski, the third or the fourth or whatever he is going to punch his knuckles on this pulpit like that guy was, you're wrong. And I don't blame him. But you know why I can sleep at night? Because I look back every step of the way. He ordered our steps. We acknowledged him in every way, and he directed our paths in the past. So it's by that that I'm trusting he's going to direct our paths in the future. Bible Institute, no Bible Institute. I've heard preachers say, preacher, until you die, you got a place at our meeting every week. I'm just not going to say that. Not that I'm. We're going to have John Marshall and family camp forever. Don't say that. Why? Because we don't have it anymore. We would have looked stupid. Boys camp. No boys camp. Now we're having boys camp. Support our own missionaries fully. Faith promise. He's proven himself in the past. What this does is it makes us have to walk with God. Have you noticed this world is changing? And it's not getting better. Have you noticed our state is changing? Man, you had some huge changes this week. And listen, it's not just our state, it's the world. It's like the mystery of iniquity is just enveloping the world. You know why I can sleep? Because I read the end of the story. The love of many will wax cold. You have to have that. You have to have, and I don't want it. You have to have the shedding of innocent blood. You have to have total control of the entire world and communication with one man, shortly followed by another man. And I'm telling you, they're setting it up. Satan's setting it up. The spirit of Antichrist is setting up. And you know what God's doing? The same thing Jesus did over there. He's seeing this and he's going, okay, they're doing this. I'm going to move here. And one day he's going to rule and reign. One last change. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Whether you change here or not, I'm getting a new, perfect body. And not just that. This world, Hebrews said, he's going to fold them up as a vesture, and they shall be changed. Go on that. Go on that. Be encouraged in that. Don't be brought down by what you see. Just walk with God. Make your moves in this life and know that he'll order your steps. Let's stand. We're going to sing All the Way My Savior Leads Me.